بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم شيخ.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
نعم شيخ، so today I want to discuss with you about Al-Azhar. So recently I've been back to my country and something that I see in very common in the society is the people who come from Azhar, they study from Azhar, they come back here. And there's a huge propagation of the Ashari Aqidah, the Maturidi Aqidah. So, Sheikh, what's your comment on this? What's the influence from like that area specifically?
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وبعد. It's important, inshallah, to first talk about Al-Azhar itself before we talk about the graduates of Al-Azhar. What you mentioned is felt throughout the world. And many people were accusing the Salafis of being unfair to Al-Azhar because the Salafis included, you know, including myself, connect Al-Azhar to the Ash'ari Aqidah, the Sufi manhaj in the ibadat and the akhlaq, and the madhhabiyya, madhahib, and the fact that they don't promote tawheed, they don't denounce shirk. Egypt is full of graves. Millions of people make hajj. You heard me right, hajj. To graves every year in Egypt. Al-Azhar is deeply rooted in Egypt. Let me read a few notes that I prepared about this topic. Inshallah, we can. You can stop me also, ask me questions while we're talking about this. So they accuse the Salafis that we're being unfair, unjust, by tying Al-Azhar to Ash'ariya, Sufiya, Madhhabiya, let alone Ibadat al-Qubur. Let me start with this. This is the tab. Dr. Ahmed Al-Tayyib, Shaykh Al-Azhar. This is the biggest Shaykh in Al-Azhar, Shaykh Al-Azhar. Said, إِنَّ الْأَزْهَرَ تَبَنَّى الْمَذْهَبَ الْأَشْعَرِيَّةِ. إِنَّ surely Al-Azhar تبنى adopted المذهب الأشعري the أشعرية in عقيدة وروجه في سائر أقطار المسلمين and promoted it in all areas of Muslim lands. This is not a Salafi. That's I guarantee you. This is Shaykh Al-Azhar. Dr. Ali Jum'a, who used to be the Mufti of Egypt, he's not the Mufti now, he used to be the Mufti, said, Inna Al-Azhara, they used the word Inna, ta'kid. Sure. Inna Al-Azhara, Ash'ariyu Al-Aqidati, Madhhabiyu Al-Fiqhi, يدرس المذاهب الفقهية الأربعة وصوفي التوجه إن الأزهر the Azhar surely is أشعري in عقيدة مذهبي in فقه teaching the four مذاهب they also teach the جعفري مذهب as the مذهب number five.
No.
We've been doing that for decades.
Yeah.
وَصُوفِيُّ التَّوَجُّهُ and Sufi in the direction. Tawajjuh meaning here in the ibadat and in al-akhlaq, the way one lives, all these, you know, mannerism, he's Sufi. So Ahmad al-Tayyib, Shaykh al-Azhar says, the Ash'aris, al-Azhar has adopted the Ash'ari madhab in Aqidah and promoted it in all areas of the Muslim lands. While Ali Jum'a says, الأزهر أشعري العقيدة مذهبي الفقه وصوفي التوجه. So the Salafis are not to blame, because indeed this is what Al-Azhar is about. Al-Azhar was established in 970 by Jawhar al-Siqilli, the biggest commander of the armies of the Khalifa al-Fatimi al-Mu'izz lidinillah. So Jawhar al-Siqilli started it in 1970. It took 2 years to finish. 1969, Al-Qahira itself, Cairo, was established. 1 year after that, Al-Azhar took 2 years to finish. It was called Al-Jami' al-Azhar, claiming that Al-Azhar is in reference to Fatima al-Zahra, radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, a very important point, even though persons from Al-Azhar actually promote the Al-Fatimiyya as a khilafah, and they claim that Al-Fatimis are descendants of Fatima radiyallahu anha. This is a lie. It's not true. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that the Fatimis are fake Fatimis. They are Ubaidis. No. That's their reference. So they are Ubaidiyun. You know, this is their grandfather, the one who established that dynasty. And they are Ismailis in the religion. They're kuffar. They are extremist Shias. Who the Shias themselves, like the Ja'faris who control Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Lebanon and Yemen today, they call them kuffar. So there are Shias like the Alawis and the Ubaidis, the Fatimis, the Ismailis, who are called kuffar by the Ja'faris, who are not Muslim themselves. So it is a weird situation if the Ja'faris call this Shia kuffar. I mean, la ilaha illallah. So for someone from Al-Azhar to say they are related to Fatima, that's a lie. Absolutely. You know, just because they claimed it. Also, they are Ismailis in their religion. Now, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah, the hero of Islam, on many accounts, Al-Quds came back, you know, after Salahuddin al-Ayyubi and the combined armies of Egypt and Asham defeated the entire armies of Europe. They kept sending armies after armies after armies. In the end, they gave up Al-Quds, and Salahuddin brought it back to Islam. It will come back, inshallah, to Islam and Muslims after Muslims wake up one day. بإذن الله عز وجل. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, when he went to Egypt, he became a commander. Then the biggest official in Egypt. And what he did is that for years kept working firmly, steadily, successfully to destroy the Shia Khilafah. We call it Khilafah as a figure of speech. We call it Fatimiyyah as a figure of speech. But he worked very steadily and successfully, very smart man, to destroy the Ismailis, the Shias, and their Khilafah. In 1171, he succeeded because the last of the Fatimiyun Khulafa, the fake ones, died. He died, he abolished the Khilafah or Al-Fatimiyya and brought back the Sunni religion to Egypt until today. May Allah reward him. After Salahuddin took over Egypt and it came back to the Sunni religion, the true Sunni religion. Salahuddin did not allow Salatul Jum'ah to be established in Al-Azhar because he wanted the Sunni madhab now to flourish. So he established schools, four schools in Egypt, to be the ones that attract students of knowledge to teach them the Sunni religion and demolish the Shia religion. You know, it was there, the Shia religion, for centuries. And he, you know, realized that he can't remove all aspects of the Shia religion right away. So he, you know, there was no Salatul Jum'ah al-Azhar from the time he took over Egypt. Now, the Mamalik, who controlled Egypt from 1250 to 1517, re-established Salatul Jum'ah. Now, this is centuries after Salah al-Din. The Sunni and the true religion came back to Egypt, and Egypt after that became a cornerstone of the strength of Muslims and the Arabs. May Allah bring it back as such, inshallah. So they brought Salatul Jum'ah in 1267 to Al-Azhar. And then they were taking care of Al-Azhar, you know, for teachers, for teachings. And it was established as the first truly universal university that taught all kinds of sciences. It wasn't only about the religion, but all kinds of sciences. During the Uthmani rule over Egypt from 1517 to 1798, Al-Azhar even flourished even more. And even though the Uthmanis made it their mission to suppress the Arabic language wherever they want, they allowed Al-Azhar to continue. And until today, Al-Azhar was, and still is, the biggest Arabic institution in the Muslim world. There is no doubt about that, the Arabic. And many other sciences, inshallah we'll talk about that in a little bit. So Al-Azhar even flourished and became, you know, established in Egypt so well that it's found in almost every village, from grade one all the way to PhD. This is a true university in the true meaning of university. They taught a lot of knowledges such as fiqh, usul al-fiqh, tafsir, hadith, مصطلح الحديث توحيد مين العقيدة الأشعرية philosophy تصوف also نحو صرف منطق that's Arabic you know Arabic language all kinds of Arabic language and sciences and math. So Al-Azhar has been and still is one of the major Islamic institutions in the world, except they, according to the Sheikh of Al-Azhar and the ex-Mufti of Egypt, they adopted the Ash'ari fiqh, the Ash'ari aqidah, and were very rigid on the four madhahib, establishing only the four madhahib. Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah, wasn't a scholar. He was a mujahid, and a great mujahid. So when he stopped Al-Jumu'ah from Al-Azhar, actually suppressed Al-Azhar for a good point, so that the Shi'i Madhab can dissipate completely. He trusted the scholars of his time to re-establish the Sunni religion in Egypt. And those scholars, some of them cheated Salah al-Din. He didn't know. So what they established actually is the Ash'ari Madhab, Tasawwuf, and the four Madhab. No. He didn't know. May Allah forgive him. He's not to blame for this. They are. So when you tell me that people study at Al-Azhar and go back home, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Indonesia, other areas, Africa, and start promoting the Ash'ari madhab in aqidah, the four madhahib in fiqh and tasawwuf, and not caring much about people who pray to dead people, make dua to dead people, everybody suffers from the same. It's not only Bangladesh. And as you note, because they learn Arabic at Al-Azhar, and Arabic today in Al-Azhar it is the largest Arabic institution in the world. There is no doubt about it.
No.
Highest level of Arabic, scholars of Arabic, mashallah.
No.
So they go back home to people who don't speak Arabic, and the people mm-hmm. look highly or consider them, like, you know, they are now scholars, mashallah. They speak Arabic, you know, they can read from the books, you know. But they promote what they learned at Al-Azhar, which is the Ash'ari Aqidah. By the way, the Maturidi Aqidah is not as well established in Al-Azhar as the Ash'ari Aqidah.
Hmm.
First, Al-Maturidi himself wasn't a scholar. Read his biography. He wasn't a scholar. He was an abusive man with a lot of ignorance.
Hmm.
Al-Hasan Al-Ash'ari had knowledge.
No.
You can't compare Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari to al-Maturidi, Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah, first started learning the Aqidah from the Mu'tazila. Soon he realized it is the false madhab in Aqidah, and went to the member and told the people, I used to teach these books, I discard them. This is what I'm teaching now, and now I now follow the Aqidah according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. What's the Aqidah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? Allahu Akbar. It is the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, because he is Imam Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari went back to the Aqidah of As-Salaf al-Salih. However, as Imam ibn Taymiyyah stated, he didn't actually succeed in following the way of a Salaf al-Salih in every respect. However, his Aqidah is very surely and clearly better than the Aqidah of the Asha'ira today. This is a funny thing. So the Asha'ira today follow the madhab that Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari said, I don't want it. He had a garment that he was wearing. He said, I'm throwing this Aqidah like I'm throwing this garment. And he took another garment and took it, you know, put it on himself and said, I follow the Aqidah of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. I'm rephrasing his words. You can find his words on the net.
No.
So Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari took the Aqidah of Salaf al-Salih in general, as Ibn Taymiyyah said, general. But he missed some points. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him for that, because he didn't have enough opportunity to actually research every point and follow that every point. So the Asha'ira today follow the madhab that Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari discarded. Calling them Asha'ira is a travesty of justice, wallah, to Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, because Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari wasn't Ash'ari in the Aqidah. That's for sure. Inshallah, we'll have a video soon about the difference between the Asha'ira and the Maturidiyya. Great differences. They have major differences. People, many Salafis, even people who follow the Sunnah, think that it is like a package. Ash'ari, Maturidi. It isn't. They have a lot of differences, but they might combine forces against the people who follow the way of As-Salaf al-Salih and the Aqidah. So they're combining forces. It's because of the bigger enemy, because they know those who follow the way of As-Salaf al-Salih, the scholars, especially among them, can refute everything they say. So they combine forces to make it difficult for those who follow the way of As-Salaf al-Salih. I'll give you now an example. Throughout the Muslim world, the Ash'ari Aqidah is more popular, except for Al Jazeera Al Arabiya. May Allah reward Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab for that. They follow the way of As-Salaf al-Salih in Aqidah. But in other areas, it's because in many ways, Al Azhar, it's fame, and people study there going back. People think then they have a scholar now from their village. Also, the rulers forced this madhab on people, and let's not talk about the Uthmanis and people before that, but they really forced tasawwuf al-Habiyya, especially al-Hanafi madhab and al-Sharia on the Muslims by force. Some Muslim countries today, Arab countries, like recently banned the Salafis from teaching anything, from durus at masajid, from khutbah, and they require anyone who wants to teach the religion, even at public school, to pass a test to make sure he is Ash'ari or she is Ash'ari. So it's by force, because by logic of the mind, the pure mind, and the texts of the Quran and Sunnah, they both agree, as Ibn Taymiyyah stated, the pure mind agrees with the text, and the text confirm the pure mind.
No.
They will be able to refute al-Ash'aris very effectively. They don't want that. They want to force their way on Muslims, and this is why you have this major problem. So just a word of caution before I let you, inshallah, ask questions if you have. There are many Salafis have been in Al-Azhar from the beginning, when Salah al-Din demolished, the Shi'i madhab, and then the Al-Azhar came back to be a university. From that time, there has been a large number of scholars, good scholars, who followed the way of Salaf al-Salih. They were not Ash'ari. They promoted the Quran and Sunnah and the Hadith. They were not Sufi. They spoke against worship of the grave and other things that are connected with extremist Sufism. There were scholars before. There are scholars now. I know for a fact. I have heard one of the Ash'ari scholars, a student of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah. Yes, he's a student of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam al-Albani, say that he knows for a fact, he studied with many scholars in Al-Azhar who are Salafi. So we have Salafis there who are teaching the correct aqidah and manhaj. But the thing is that the leadership of Al-Azhar is like this Jum'a and the other person, the Sheikh Al-Azhar said, they are the ones who control the leadership in Al-Azhar. They don't promote these Salafis. They don't get, you know, prominent positions in Al-Azhar, keeping it a monopoly between those who are Sufis, Ash'aris, following the Madahib. But there are many, many scholars. I'm going to mention a couple of names. Muhammad Hamid al-Fiqhi, rahimahullah, a scholar that Egypt had, rahimahullah, died in the last century. And you have Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith Ahmed Shakir. Ahmed Shakir, rahimahullah, is the biggest scholar of hadith in Egypt in the last two centuries. He wrote many books, like his work on the Musnad of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. He's the one who called Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Shaykh al-Islam Mujaddidu Da'wat al-Tawheed, scholar. No. And he had a prominent position in Al-Azhar, in the Kulliyat Al-Hadith. So Al-Azhar has now scholars who follow the Quran and Sunnah. There are many of them. Just because we don't know about them because of the politics of things, you know, this is the politics, you know. The leadership of Al-Azhar used to appoint the shuyukh of Al-Azhar, the Council of Major Scholars used to appoint their sheikh themselves among them. In the 1950s, the unjust rulers removed that and started appointing Sheikh Al-Azhar. So it became a political position. And what do you expect from such people? We have heard the fatwa coming from Ali Jum'a, for example, that are really horrible. But anyway, so I'm advising the Salafis who are listening to me today, do not be unjust, unfair, or rude about Al-Azhar. Just as I explained about the area where they promoted this Sufiya, Ash'ariya, and Madhabiyya, there are scholars who followed the way of Salaf al-Salih, who taught many students the way of Salaf al-Salih. So don't, you know, erase the good because of the bad.
No.
Also, this university, Al-Azhar, still is number one in the teaching of Arabic and also competes with Medina with regards to Hadith and Usul al-Fiqh. However, for the Aqidah and the Tasawwuf and the Fiqh, we explained, so I'm advising people to not make it a blanket statement against Al-Azhar. However, I say that if I am in a position of leadership in a masjid and someone from Al-Azhar came to work as an imam, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to test them in the Aqidah and make sure that they are not Sufis, Ash'aris, and those who promote Al-Fiqh according to only the four madhahib, even though they're teaching Al-Madhab Al-Ja'fari, for example, which to me is a kind of promoting that false madhab. Anyway, may Allah, inshallah, protect Al-Azhar from these people and bring it back to what it was. And please have respect for this institution because of what I explained. It benefited the Ummah tremendously, especially with regards to keeping the Arabic language in the Ummah.
JazakAllah khairan for this explanation and for clarifying this matter. Yani, subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding of the deen. Help us fix our aqidah and be firm on the tawheed. So inshallah, we'll come back again with some more important topics, bi'idhnillah. Till then, subhanallah, bihamdihi, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.